Do you remember that time you told me you had a Lego stuck up your nose?
What?
Yeah, like it was like a construction guy. You'd call him Larry. Oh, come on, you don't remember? He had like the high-vis jacket and the removable hat?
Yeah, vaguely.
Well, I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was freaked. Cause this Larry, Larry was way, way up there. I don't even know how you got him that far up. I had to do surgery. I had to get tweezers to pull him out.
Bull.
No, I swear on my life. I don't know, I feel like he used to come to me more for help. Or to just talk, you know? Now it feels like you don't do that anymore. Not like before. A lot of that is probably my fault. In this last year, I know I've been distant.
Or stoned.
Or stoned. Yeah. But that has nothing to do with you. And that's me dealing my own shit and hiding from my own problems. The truth is, I miss talking to you. I, like, really miss it. And I think, right now, we need to talk more than ever. Because things are getting just complicated. Right? A lot more complicated than Legos up the nose, you know? I don't want you to forget that I'm here. And I'll always be here. No matter what. Because you're my brother. And I love you. And there is nothing in this world, okay? Absolutely nothing. That will ever change that. You got that?
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together forever, we're loving stranger things. It's stranger things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's stranger things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
It's Tuesday night, November 18th, 2025, and you're listening to Stranger Danger Presents Stranger Things Forever. Greetings, stranger friends. I don't know why I just did that. I hit record and all of a sudden it just started happening and I went with it. Happy Tuesday, everybody. And yes, welcome back to another thrilling, exciting adventure of Stranger Things Forever, where today we will be talking about the next 10 minutes of the piggyback, minutes 30 to 40. We are really in the thick of things now. Of course, that being said, this 10 minutes feels like another mostly set up for, you know, the amazing action we're going to be getting very, very soon. But we do get 1, 2, 3 great moments of personal relationship stuff. One of them gets in, well, actually two of them get interrupted. And one, you get to see this nice kind of just beautiful moment between two siblings. Spoiler alert. But before we get to those 10 minutes, there's a couple things I wanted to mention. As you may have heard me say in the past, I am on TikTok at Geek Mentality Mike. And I got a message this evening from a user named MovieMan0003. Hey, buddy, I'm watching the 10-minute increments of Stranger Things episode. I'm on part 5 of the Hellfire Club, but I promise to catch up before the new season. I just love all your podcast episodes, the concepts and formats that you make. And he goes on to say that he was trying to leave a comment on Spotify, but it wouldn't let him. But you can, hopefully you can, on Spotify episodes. People out there can leave comments. But if not, you can reach out to me on TikTok. It's Geek Mentality Mike. And he goes on to say that he wanted to give me a theory that's not going to happen, but it's been stuck in the back of his mind. He really wanted Dustin to see Eddie because of Vecna, and that causes him, and then maybe causes Dustin to do something way out of character, something darker, or, you know, like something very dark to Steve. You know, he says, I'm trying to think of the most outlandish possibility because it's the final season. Yes, I hear you, dude. You know, they keep saying that Eddie Munson isn't going to be appearing in it. They've pretty much said, oh, no, the actor's not going to be in it. The character's not in it. He's, you know, it's completely done with. But you never know. They could have just been like, oops, sorry, we forgot we did leave him in there. I don't expect it to happen, but that is a good... Well, that would be a good way to really get at Dustin. The only problem I think that could possibly be is Dustin, well, you know, I don't know. I was going to say Dustin's too confident. He's overly confident. And he doesn't seem like the personality that Vecna would try to glom onto. However, we don't know exactly how Eddie's passing has affected Dustin. I know we see a little bit in the trailer. He does visit Eddie's grave, which now makes me wonder, is there someone in the grave? I wonder. I don't know if I've mentioned that or thought about that before, but interesting. He also sent a couple other things, some theory things, something to do with the play. I haven't watched them yet, but I plan on checking them out. And if I do, there's a chance I may mention them here in the future. But I do want to just give him a shout out again and thank you for sending all that stuff. Very cool. Movie Man 0003. That's three zeros and then a three on TikTok. So thank you very much. And there's something else I want to mention. Netflix put out a quiz today. I am going to put a link to this in the show notes. But if you haven't taken the quiz yet, pause the episode right now and go and take the quiz yourself. Again, the link to the quiz will be directly in the show notes. Or if you're watching or listening to this on YouTube, it'll be in the description. And it says, what do they call it? The Stranger Things Superfan Quiz. I literally have not looked at this at all. Oh my God, there's 74 questions? I was going to take the whole quiz live on this episode, but 74 questions? I mean, it'd be nice if like you could do a few questions every day and come back, but 74, that is a lot. But I'm going to try to answer the first few at least. On what day does Will Byers vanish from Hawkins, Indiana? July 4th, November 6th, December 21st, October 31st. We all know Stranger Things Day is November 6th, so I'm going to click on that. Correct. All right. And then I hit next, and it's going to say 2 of 74. I am not going to do this. Let's answer the first 10 questions. What did Will roll when attempting to fireball the Demogorgon in the opening game of D&D? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say 13 because that's an unlucky number. I don't have any recollection of this. 7. I was thinking 7. And they were like, oh, shit. I really was thinking 7. Who plays Benny Hammond, the cook who first finds 11 in the episode? Who plays him? Okay. I'm pretty sure it's Chris Sullivan. I know it's not Nick Kessel, Jensen Ackles, or Joey Pants. So it's definitely Chris Sullivan. Correct. Next. I remember thinking that guy was going to be a major part in the show. Like he was going to be the guy who takes care of her, which turned out to be Hopper. What song reminds Jonathan of the first mix he made for Will when he's driving to his brother's house? Well, it's got to be Should I Stay or Should I Go? The Clash. Correct. So, you know, I got one wrong so far. What is the name of Nancy's friend? I mean, come on, it's Barb. I'm not even going to answer that I'm not even going to read the other names. What is the name of the security guard at Hawkins' lab when Hopper first arrives to investigate Will's disappearance? Are you kidding me?
What is the name of the security guard at Hawkins' lab? Patrick, Paul, John, or Nathan? I'm going to say Paul. Oh, it's Patrick. I mean, okay. What is the name of the woman suing Dr. Brenner and the Hawkins National Laboratory, according to the newspaper articles Hopper and his team find in the library? Well, it's got to be Terry Ives, right? Yes, Eleven's mom. And then number 8, what word does Hopper claim his deceased daughter Sarah won the spelling bee with when he's trying to get info out of the state trooper who allegedly found Will's body? I'm going to say dysplasia. That sounds familiar. Nope, it was odontaliki. O-D-O-N-T-A-L-G-I-A. Odontagia. Odontalgia? What? I mean, when? What is? It's like, what color shoes was Hopper wearing in the third scene of the 7th episode? This quiz is somewhat interesting. What movie is playing? Okay, wasn't it a horror movie? No, wait a minute. What movie was playing at the Hawk when Tommy H, that friggin' Tommy H, thank God he's not back, when he defaces the sign starring Nancy the Slut Wheeler? I want to say Risky Business. No, wait a minute. I feel like I can almost see it right here. All the right. You can almost see it in the sign. It's All the Right Moves. It has to be. Nailed it. They kind of spoil it with the image. And I'm going to stop here at number 10. Number 10. What is the name of the Henderson family cat? Oh, my goodness gracious. Muse? Oh my God, I got it. That sounded familiar. I'm stopping at 10, but listen, you want to take the whole quiz, go for it. If it was 10 questions, I'd say I would sit here and do the whole thing. It's 74 questions. And I talk about not wanting to waste your time. Well, folks, that would have been a giant waste of your time to listen to me to answer 64 more questions. Even these first 10, I don't know how exciting that was. Speaking of 10, though, 10 seems like a good number. Why don't we take a moment, sit back, let's crack open a cold one. And by cold one, I mean a grocery store brand diet cola from my local grocer Market Basket. Let's have a sip. Ooh. Yum, yum, aspartame. Yum, 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 yum. All right. And let's get ready now to talk about the next 10 minutes of The Piggyback.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Yummy. This diet cola is still delicious. Oh, I'm trying to hold back a burp. Wait a minute. Okay, what you don't know is I just hit pause and I just burped, but I'm back. It was seamless. I brought you behind the curtain. So we pick up these 10 minutes. We just left Russia and we head now directly into the Creel house in Hawkins where Lucas and Max are hanging out. They seem to just be waiting. Max is listening to her Kate Bush and they're just kind of, you know, sitting back wondering, they're waiting for the upside down crew to get into position. So they're kind of waiting for to hear word through Erica. So they have time and they start trading notes back and forth quietly because they don't want to, you know, everything's done quietly, just written down notes. Max says hi. Lucas says hi. Max says, I'm glad you're here. Lucas says, me too. And then he wrote Movie Friday, and that broke my heart because you know what happens to Max and you know very little about what happens to Max in the next season because we only see her in the hospital and her, you know, being carried out running for her life. So we have no confirmed moments of Max being awake in Stranger Things 5, as far as I know, right? So she draws a little picture of them at the movies together. It was sweet, but again, it's bittersweet, bittersweet. So they all of a sudden see flashes of light outside and they look and it's Erica in the playground. And Erica's like, come on, come on, come on. They signal back to let Erica know that they're ready to go. And Erica lets the upside down kids know because they're right there so they can hear her. They said, okay, the lovebirds have copied. Max is moving into phase two, distracting Vecna. Now, could Jonathan hear Joyce? Was she calling to him? Jonathan couldn't speak from the upside down, or maybe he was too afraid to because they were right there. That's why he used the lights. Like just the fact that they can talk right there now. I don't know why that's bugging me. I don't know. But then again, like, didn't she hear Jonathan a little and then almost saw him through the wall? Like, I don't know. I'm like half remembering things. It has been a while since I watched the original. I feel like once I finish everything, I should rewatch them all. And I hate to say this, not even to podcast about it, just to sit back as a fan and just enjoy them. That would be a fun thing to do, just from the beginning all the way to the end. So Erica says, you know, they've moved into phase two, distracting Vecna, because they're going to use Max as bait to distract Vecna. And Robin, now we see in the upside down, Robin, Steve, and Nancy. Robin says, so far so smooth. Steve's like, yeah, we haven't even got to the hard part yet. And Nancy's just looking at the house. She's like, come on, take the bait, you son of a bitch. Take the bait. Then we cut inside to the Creel house. And Max does an unbelievably brave thing. She turns off her headphones. And nothing really happens at first. She's like, hey, asshole, I'm here. No more music, no more games. Do you hear me? What are you waiting for, huh? Come on, do you want me or not? And then the blue light in the lantern that they left on, looks like it's on a table or on a bench, on a chair, it's on something. It glows, and then the glow goes from that light. That light kind of fades, and then the lantern in Max's hand picks up. Like, it really brightens up, and it's almost like, okay, I guess Vecna is like, okay, follow this light now, I suppose. So Max like holds the light out in front of her and she just starts walking and it's leading her upstairs. It seems to be getting brighter as she's going. So she is following. And I wonder if she goes off course, does it get darker? And then she realizes to turn, but she is heading upstairs into the Creel house as the lantern is getting brighter and brighter. And didn't they remember, wasn't it last time they were in the attic? That's when they all pointed their flashlights up and they were like, oh, the power of Vecna is here. So it seems like he's leading her up into the attic. I don't know why. Maybe they waited so they could communicate to the outside world. Like, the inside crew needs to find, or maybe they need to find that light to know where to go. So the light is not just to show them where Vecna is to like, no, they don't have to know because all they need to do is go inside and see the giant monster. So it's really just to get Vecna's mind off of the fact that they need Vecna in the trance. That's really what it comes down to. They need Vecna in the trance. And speaking of a trance, we head off over to the Surfer Boy Pizza back in Nevada. We pick up with Mike and 11. And Mike, I remember he grabbed sunglasses out of the van, and now he's using parts of a pizza box to basically make blinding goggles light for the light deprivation. Like, he put them on. He's like, look, I can't see a thing. These are perfect. And don't I look cool? And he's making 11 giggle. Now, I mentioned there were three great character moments, three great relationship moments. And there was one earlier today with Steve and Nancy. But the first one was Lucas and Max having that moment of basically getting over, you know, their kind of their separation from each other. And it looks like they're planning on going out for a date. It's horrible that we don't get there, but we were just there and they were really reconciling things. Number two, we get Mike here talking to 11, and he is, you know, they're laughing a little bit, and he's talking about the last time, you know, he was thinking about that last conversation. He was just about to tell her that he loved her, and friggin' Argyle comes in and spoils things, but at least he spoils things with pizza. If you're gonna ruin something, at least ruin it with pizza. But Mike has never seen pineapple on pizza before. 11 loves it already. Now, you have to remember, 11 has lived in California for some time now. She is used to Argyle. She knows this pizza. She knows this world. And the pizza, by the way, it's good, okay? And anyone who says pineapple doesn't belong on pizza is, to me, closed-minded. Everything belongs on pizza if you like it. Okay, you don't like it, then don't have it. But it doesn't belong on pizza. That's sacrilege. No. Who decided, oh, but you can put little pieces of meat on pizza. You can put a pepper and an onion, but you can't put a fruit on pizza. Tomatoes are fruit, buddy. Too late. So Mike is real resistant to eating this pizza, which is just silly. And Argyle and 11 are having fun trying to force him to eat it. Now, you do hear, you barely hear him saying in the background, but if you have the closed caption on, you do see that he likes it. He's like, oh, okay, it's good, it's good. But that moment has passed. We almost got the moment for Mike to tell 11 that he loves her. But then we jump to the back where Jonathan and Will are getting the tank finalized. They're adding the salt in. And that's the clip I played at the beginning of this episode. You know, they're pretty quiet to start. And then Jonathan, you know, brings up this old story of Will getting a Lego man stuck up his nose and how he came to him, and Jonathan was very nervous because he's his little brother, and, you know, he was freaked out. But he says, you know, you used to come to me for things. We used to talk, and, you know, I miss that. He says, you know, I have been distant. I've been dealing with my own stuff. He's like, you've been stoned. He's like, yeah, but that's not because of you. It's because of me having to deal with my own shit. And basically he just tells him that you can come to me for anything. And I love you. You're my brother, and nothing. And I mean nothing. Like, he looks at him and he's basically saying, I love you no matter what. Now, nothing is said, but obviously, I don't know if it's obvious to everyone. It seems like it probably is. He's basically saying, you know, at least my interpretation is that, Will, if you're gay, who gives a shit? You're my brother, and nothing is going to change that. Now, he doesn't come right out and say it, and Will doesn't come right out and say it, and it's almost like, maybe Jonathan's thinking, it's not my thing to say. This is Will's story. And again, maybe I'm even wrong, but that's my interpretation of it. And no shit, I apologize for this, for all my language, but no shit, there's nothing wrong with it. No shit, your brother should love you no matter what. And Jonathan would be a terrible person if, you know, otherwise. But Will doesn't know that. Will lives in a world where he feels like he has to hide and he has to be afraid, you know, he's scared to say anything, and he doesn't know what to expect from his brother. But the fact that his brother just confirms, like, with him right there that, you know, it doesn't matter. I love you, Will. You're my brother, and you always will be my brother, and nothing will change that. And you can see the emotion in Will's eyes, and I absolutely love that scene. You know, just this morning, I was kind of shitting on Jonathan a little bit, just saying, and look at me, swearing left and right. I think it's the Diet Coke. Diet Cola. Sorry, not Diet Coke. It's a generic. But I was, you know, poo-pooing on Jonathan a little bit because I was saying, oh, Steve and Nancy, they're the ones who belong together. And then Jonathan goes and does the sweetest thing ever for his brother. This is probably my favorite Jonathan moment of the entire series. Right there, just looking his brother dead in the eyes and telling him, it doesn't matter. I love you. I accept you. You know, you're my brother, and that's the only thing that matters. And they have a great moment, and they hug, and he's like, everything's going to be okay. Now that everything is going to be okay, I think he means, you know, as far as you know, who you are and your family loving you, that part's going to be okay. All the other stuff, the craziness, I mean, that remains to be seen. You know, there's still a lot of stuff that needs to happen. But with them and with life and the personal side of life, it's going to be just fine. Don't you worry. So I love that moment. And then they're ready to go. I think it's time to go. They go and tell the crew, the pizza kids outside having fun, laughing, that it is time. So they get Eleven inside the tank and she puts those silly looking glasses on. It is kind of silly, but it's also kind of iconic that when she lies back with those goggles on inside the tank and all the guys are around her, they get the radio on. They put the radio on static and she just starts floating in the tank and like she's ready to, you know, do her thing. So she lays back, starts to focus, and all of a sudden the lights start to flicker. Oh man, I feel like stuff was just starting to get really good. I mean, it's all really good, but stuff was really starting to pick up. But I guess we'll have to talk about that tomorrow. So that's the end of those 10 minutes. What actually happened? Well, again, we had a sweet moment with Lucas and Max. We had a sweet moment with Mike and Eleven. And we had a very sweet moment with Jonathan and Will. Max took her Walkman off. So she is no longer under the safety of Kate Bush, and she is basically ready to be bait for Vecna. And Eleven, meanwhile, has gone into the tank and ready to go into the void and try to get to Max. And Mike likes pizza with pineapple on it. So a lot of big things happen in this 10 minutes, and I cannot wait to talk about the next 10 minutes tomorrow, because things are going to get crazy. But that's tomorrow. I can't go ahead. That's against the rules, and I don't want to get fined. So that's it for today, my friends. But until tomorrow, you can find me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, remember, where you find MovieMan0003. You can find me at Geek Mentality Mike. We have a Facebook page called Fans Not Experts and a YouTube channel called Fans Not Experts. That's because the website where all my podcasts are is fansnotexperts.com. But if you just care about Stranger Danger, you can go to strangerdangerpodcast.com or follow strangerdangerpodcast.com on Blue Sky and StrangerDPod on Twitter. That is it. I am done. I will see you tomorrow, my friends. But remember, just stay stranger. First of all, you got to remember that. Stay stranger, my friends. And also remember, that's people like you, people like me, people like MovieMan0003. We are the ones who help keep Stranger Things alive. Sorry about that quiz. That took way too much time. But again, you can go do it. Check it out. We are the ones who keep Stranger Things alive forever.
Fans Not Experts.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.